Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estala with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 15th of April, the 105th day of 2024, with 261 days remaining on our way to 2025. Mother Nature here in Maine has been affording us plenty of water for a couple of weeks now, increasing the tinges of green sprouting in an otherwise tawny landscape. Monday last, I had three aerial photo shoots to do along the Stillwater River in Orono, and by the time I had finished the last one at 3:25 in the afternoon, the general tenor of the landscape and the air quickly began to change. The straw colors to the east and west of the Stillwater River took on an amber hue, and the sky was moving at quite a clip toward twilight. In the next 7 minutes, flying northwest toward Howland and climbing to about 4,000 feet above ground level, I had reached the eastern edge of the eclipse totality band, and at 3:33, looking west across the darkening swath of several dozen miles that were in the zone of totality, I glanced north to see some 50 miles in the distance the snows of Mount Katahdin standing out brightly. Nonetheless, total darkness was not a feature of the totality, at least from almost a mile up at the eastern edge over Howland, though the texture of the sky to the west was most wondrous, suggestive of conditions both meteorological and cosmological, a composite of light refraction in a compartmentalized way for the 3 minutes of totality. My friend Alan Pickering from Northport is also a pilot who's flown for more than half a century, and he appreciated the viewing glasses some youngsters had lent him and his wife Sandy when they had on a whim decided to drive over to Bingham for a sighting. Alan was momentarily much entranced by the solar flares firing out into space beyond the sun's corona and were viewable for only brief seconds, though nonetheless provided a memory ranking now among the many great memories in his life. In other vistas heavenward, this evening's first quarter moon for April will be keeping company with Castor and Pollux, the twin stars of the constellation Gemini, between sunset and midnight in the southwest sky. And for those poetry lovers among us, the nearest thing to heaven on earth will be happening next week on Thursday, April 25th, at the 22nd Annual Poets Speak, again hosted by the Bangor Public Library and Kathleen Ellis, who is announcing this year's theme, Writing the Watershed, celebrating National Poetry Month in the heart of Maine. Today in 1250, the Mongol Kublai was proclaimed the Great Khan by the Mongol Great Council, and Pope Innocent IV refused a request from the Jews of Cordova, Spain, to build a synagogue there. Today in 1534, Thomas Cromwell was appointed chief secretary to King Henry VIII of England. Today in 1755, Samuel Johnson's A Dictionary of the English Language was published in London. Today in 1783, America's Continental Congress ratified the Articles of Peace, ending the seven-year-long war with Great Britain. Today in 1817, the first American school for the deaf opened in Hartford, Connecticut. Today in 1850, the city of San Francisco was incorporated. Today in 1862, Emily Dickinson began corresponding with Thomas Wentworth Higginson, a letter-writing relation lasting the rest of her life. Today in 1865, President Abraham Lincoln died 9 hours after being shot by John Wilkes Booth at Washington's Ford Theater. Today in 1874, the first Impressionist exhibition opened in Paris featuring Monet, Degas, Renoir, Pizarro, and Morisot. Today in 1896 in Athens, Greece, the first modern Summer Olympics game opened. Today in 1912, the RMS Titanic sank with some 1,500 souls off the coast of Newfoundland. Today in 1947, Jackie Robinson became the first African-American to play in U.S. Major League Baseball. Today in 1955 in Des Moines, Iowa, Ray Kroc opened the first McDonald's fast food restaurant. Today in 1874, at Blenheim Castle, England, Winston Churchill was born several months prematurely to Lord Randolph Churchill and his American wife, Brooklyn-born Jeanette Jerome, who 7 months after their wedding had taken what was called an imprudently jarring ride in a pony cart. Lord Randolph's father and assorted relatives disliked young Jenny, the American woman whom they considered, quote, a strange and abnormal creature with habits and manners something between a Red Indian and a Gaiety girl, close quote. Nonetheless, Lord Randolph was permitted to marry Jenny because he acceded to his father's wishes that Randolph enter politics. Biographer Ed Morrow tells us that in keeping with British aristocratic custom, Lord Randolph's son Winston was raised by a nanny and dispatched to a boarding school as soon as possible. Despite this treatment, or perhaps because of the glamorizing distance it imposed, young Winston became devoted to his mother, Jenny, and she in turn doted on him when he was home on holidays. Lord Randolph, however, was a remote father. Winston would remember only one close conversation with him. Their relationship was further marred when Lord Randolph began to lose his mind due to the syphilis, which would eventually kill him. Interestingly, Winston would also become a politician, though first adventuring into journalism. Winston Churchill would later say of his mother, "My mother made a brilliant impression upon my childhood life. She shone for me like the evening star, and I loved her dearly, but at a distance." Today is also the birthday in 1452 of Italian painter, sculptor, and scientist Leonardo da Vinci. In 1469, of first Sikh guru and founder Nanak. In 1707, of Swiss mathematician Leonard Euler. In 1741, of American portrait painter Charles Wilson Peale. In 1843, of American-British writer Henry James. In 1858, of French sociologist Émile Durkheim. In 1888, of American actress Florence Bates. In 1894, of American blues singer Bessie Smith. In 1894, of Soviet First Secretary Nikita Khrushchev. In 1898, of American radio comedian Marion Jordan. In 1908, of American actress Lita Gray. In 1915, of African-American sculptor and printmaker Elizabeth Catlett. In 1977, of American actor Hans Conried. In 1922, of first African-American mayor of Chicago, Harold Washington. In 1928, of the first African-American woman architect in New York and California, Norma Merrick Sklarik. In 1930, of the world's first democratically elected president, Iceland's Vigdis Finnbogadottir. In 1933, of American actress Elizabeth Montgomery and of American country singer and guitarist Roy Clark. In 1937, of Gore-Tex inventor Robert W. Gore. In 1939, of English pop singer Marty Wilde. In 1940, of American funk saxophonist Clarence Satchel. In 1951, of American columnist Heloise B. Reese. In 1959, of British actress Emma Thompson. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in edgewise. Here's to the fifth week of spring and to the 16th week of 2024.